Hi, my name is Oluchi Ajogu, and you're welcome to Enrich Podcast. It is another time to get our lives enriched with the Word of God. This is the second episode of this first season titled God's Love. And today we'll be looking at God as His Word. But before we continue, I would love us to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We ask, Lord, that your word will bring life to us and that your word will shine light on our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we'll be looking at God as His Word. And in the last episode, we addressed the question, who is God, from the angle of how we see Him and our experience with Him. I also said that experience is critical, is very important in getting to know God, but it is not the final arbiter of who He really is. You know, experience just provides a way for us to have an idea of God, but then it is subjective and not really who God is, because experience is often based on our feelings. We should be very careful, very careful, not constructing our minds on true images of who God is. What really matters is who God really is. And who God really is what we need to understand. We need to know Him objectively and not just subjectively. So today, who is God? One, God is His Word. And we'll be looking at John 1:1. Reading from the Amplified Bible, it says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself." I'll take it again. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. What Word are they talking about here? Like, what Word was John talking about here? Going back to Genesis 1, we would understand what Word John was talking about. John was talking about the Word of God, which is the agent of creation. God created everything through His Word. Reading Genesis 1, you would see, "And God said," and "God said." You know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So He said, "Let there be," and there was. So the Word is, one, the agent of creation. The Word is the manifestation of the will and mind of God. The Word is God's ultimate self-expression. And from this version of the Bible, which is very correct, the Word is Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is a way to say that God's words are always with Him. God is not different from His Word. He goes further to say, the Word was God. So this Word is not only the agent of creation, but this Word is God Himself. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets who received the Word. Now in the New Testament, the Word came to us in flesh form. The Word came to us as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word that was made flesh. So from this passage of the Bible, we now understand that God is His Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus was with God from the beginning. Jesus is God. God has existed before the beginning. He is eternal. And the Word that was made flesh is Jesus Christ. You know, God's Word, His spoken Word, the written Word, the flesh Word, all three are the same. His spoken Word, the words by which He created everything. Everything exists by the spoken Word of God. We as humans were spoken into being. You know, Psalms 139:13 says, "For you, God, did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb." So we exist by God's Word. Now His spoken Word, the words in the Bible, the Word of God in the Bible, and the flesh form of the Word is Jesus Christ. Now what are the features of this Word? What are the features of God's Word? One, God's Word is life. God's Word is life. John 6:63 says, "The Word of God is spirit and life." This means that it is supernatural and alive. The word of God is also likened to a seed in the parable of the sower. A seed has life. A seed has the ability to create. So when we receive this word in our lives, we receive life. We receive something that has the ability to create things through and for us. I mentioned the parable of the sower. It is the growth parable, and I would love for us to read it. It's in Matthew 13, 3-9. Reading again from the Amplified Bible, it says, "And he told them many things in parables, stories by way of illustration and comparison, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and at once they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they dried up and withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil, and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 30 as much, and some 60 times. Sorry, I mixed it. He who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing." I love this version of the Bible because it explains very well. Now, this is the parable of the sower, and Jesus also explains this parable from verse 18. He says, "Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on thin rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble, he is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. So this is the explanation of the parable of the sower. The seed symbolizes the word of God, and the different grounds represent different types of people and their response to the word of God. When God sends his word, he doesn't pick people. He just sends his word to everybody, and it depends on the receiver for it to function. Just as when he sent Jesus to die for us, Jesus didn't come to die for a group of people. Jesus came and died for all of us. Now we are left to receive what he did for us. For the word of God to grow in our lives, it has to be on proper ground and environment. Most of us make it very difficult for the word to grow in us. The different types of ground in the parable of the sower represents the different categories of people we have today. Some of us are like the roadside. We hear the word of God, but we don't comprehend it. Then the evil one comes and steals it away. Some of us are like the rocky soil. Yes, we hear this word, we welcome it, we accept it with joy. But because it has no roots in us, when trouble comes, we fall away. Some of us are like the thorns. We hear this word of God, but then the pleasure, the cares of the word choke and suffocate the word. Some of us are like the good soil. We hear this word and then it bears fruit in our lives. Whatever ground you have affects how growth happens. Here we are all about growth. We want to grow. But if you're not on proper ground, growth won't happen. So what ground are you? What ground are you? A lot of things affect our ground. The friends we keep, what we listen to, what we spend our time doing, All these things affect our ground and it affects growth. It affects our growth. Let's look into our lives and see what has to be fixed in order for this word of God to grow in us. 2. The word of God is eternal. It is unending. It is everlasting. The word of God is unchangeable. It is the same today, yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. God's word is true. God's word provides clarity in every area where it shines its light. It tells us the truth about God. It tells us the truth about ourselves, about humanity, and about our redemption in Christ. God's word is powerful. I would read a verse and I would love us to read it when we have the time to and ponder on it. It's Hebrews 4:12. It says, God's word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word is powerful. By the word, everything was made. By God's spoken word, everything, including the universe, came into existence. God's word has the power to deliver. It has the power to heal. It has the power to transform. So today we've looked at God as His word. Who is God? God is His word. God is His word. His word is the manifestation of His will. His word is Jesus. Jesus is God. His word is life. And receiving this life depends on the receiver for it to function. God's word is true. It is powerful. It is unchanging. It is eternal. It has the power to heal, to transform life, to build us up. In the next episode, we will be looking at the person of God. Don't forget to share this podcast. The goal is to get more people on this growth journey. If you have questions or opinions you would love to share, kindly send them to enrichwithbernice@gmail.com. Stay tuned and stay blessed.